You know, the other day on CEO Spotlight, we were talking to Mark Becenter about this development along Henderson that we've been hearing about literally for a decade, actually for over a decade. This sounds very exciting, sort of unifying the Park Cities and East Dallas and maybe sort of the Clyde Warren Park in that area. His partner in all that is Tristan Simon, who's managing partner at Rebies, but also they've gone together and they're doing some development together. And nobody knows Henderson better than Tristan Simon. You remember Cuba Libre and the Porch and Victor Tango's and Fireside Pies and Kristen, I remember the crab dip at Hibiscus like it was yesterday. It was just heaven. It's good to have you with us.
It's great to be here, Dave.
So you're in the restaurant business. You still got Billy Can-Can and some other stuff, but you're in this development business. Tell me what's unique about Henderson, why it took so long, and why you're building it all at once. I'm just amazed.
So, you know, obviously my experience on Henderson goes back to, you know, early 2000 when I opened up my first of eight restaurants on the street. And that restaurant development phase, I think, transformed Henderson for the first time. Took it from being sort of a sleepy, quaint but sleepy street and turning it into a pretty vital dining and nightlife destination, and that initiated a sort of a wave of value creation that sort of went from where we built our restaurants on the western end of the street by the freeway, and you know began to sort of you know grow to the east all the way down to Greenville Avenue, and then you know we sold out or I sold that business in 2014 and started our current real estate business, Rebies. But Mark Messiner and I, with a partner, CIM, out of Los Angeles, acquired a group of commercial properties up and down Henderson Avenue in 2012. And so even though I sold the restaurant business, I remained engaged with the street as a partner in this portfolio of buildings. And, you know, over, you know, the 10 years, let's call it, that followed Mark and I making that investment. Mark and his team primarily did a great job of bringing interesting retail to Henderson for the first time. You know, my old company sort of made it a dining destination, and then Mark's company, Open Realty, really made it, an interesting destination for contemporary retail as well, and sort of balanced out the mix. And I think, I think of that sort of retail generation phase between 2012 and 2020 is being sort of the second phase of Henderson's evolution, with the project that we just broke ground on, the development project, being the third. And I would describe our goals for the project that we just commenced as being focused on really taking all the sort of DNA and lineage that exists on Henderson, not just from the work we've done in the restaurant and retail space, but the DNA that goes back generations, all the way back to, you know, the Andres family, who sort of, you know, assembled a lot of the real estate that we own today, and sort of maturing it into, you know, one of the great walkable dining and contemporary retail streets in the country. I mean, that's our ambition.
So is this going to be like Knox, or is this going to be something different?
So it's interesting. We think of Henderson as being, you know, what it is, connective tissue between Lower Greenville and Knox. And we've seen a great renaissance in Lower Greenville in the last 7, 8, 9 years. The introduction, you know, those street improvements where they widened the sidewalks and re-landscaped and
eliminated all the parking.
Exactly. Yes, that was the unfortunate consequence of some of that. But certainly the walking fabric today on Lower Greenville is, I think, very good and much better than it used to be. And it's much more vibrant as a pedestrian destination now than it used to be. Meanwhile, over on Knox, you've got, you know, Trammell Crow and MSD and the retail connection doing a beautiful, large scale, I would say more luxury mixed use project with the Auberge Hotel and the high end condos, retail, office. And I think we want to be connective tissue between Lower Greenville and Knox, not just physically, but sort of from an aesthetic perspective, from a cultural perspective. We will be more bespoke and I would say design forward than what you see on Lower Greenville today, but we'll be not as luxury, and I would say a little, cooler than what's happening over on Knox. And I don't say that with any discredit to what they're doing. Their positioning is luxury, and ours is sort of cool and design forward. So I see us being a connective tissue in that
Well,
sense.
as you said, your roots are back in the restaurant business, and restaurants are going to have to be an element of this because you can't build anything in North Texas without having restaurants because people go out to eat so much. But I mean, this business is really ailing. I mean, bankruptcies in the restaurant business are up 50%. It seems like people are becoming more value conscious. Even big names like, Red Lobster or Cracker Barrel or whatever are in trouble, and even McDonald's is having challenges right now. What works?
Yeah, I don't think it's demand side. I think like sales are generally strong in the restaurant business. It's really a function of inflated operating costs. I mean, labor is so tight and so much more expensive than it used to be relative to revenue. Like I think historically people would have been in almost any segment of the restaurant business happy with payroll being about 30% of their revenue. Today it's 38, it's 40, even with strong revenue, because there's just been so much inflation in wages because the market's so tight and you just have to pay that kind of wage to attract and retain staff. And unfortunately, the consumer, while demand is there, won't tolerate the kind of price increases that you'd need to pass through to have normal labor expense again. At the same time, cost of goods are up. So, almost across the board, particularly on the protein side, your cost of goods inputs are way up relative to revenue. So all of that is to say, if in today's restaurant business, you can have a very busy establishment that's only turning a nominal profit. And if you have average revenue that historically might have allowed you to turn a nominal profit, you're probably losing money and you're closing or on the verge of closing.
Well, labor's not going to get any better, from what I understand, especially if we're deporting a lot of the workers that are making it, putting up greater obstacles for them to come in and work, because a lot of those people are the people that make it affordable to work. So what's the alternative? I saw, remember Leduni tried a little robot. I think Chili's actually tried little robots for a while. What's the answer?
Well, I mean, if in fact mass deportations occur and legal immigration even is sharply curtailed, that will be inflationary for sure in the hospitality business and the construction business and the agriculture business. And it'll take a difficult situation and make it even worse. At some point, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to see more menu price inflation that people will simply have to tolerate, and or you're going to see a contraction in supply such that a diminished labor pool can properly support the restaurants that survive. And I think that's what you're starting to see now, a winnowing of the herd.
Are there any efficiencies that can be extracted out of your industry? Anything left? Any other ways to cut the overhead?
Well, I think if you look at new restaurants, you're seeing that they are being designed to be more labor efficient. And that's true of, fast casual all the way up to fine dining. People are, they're doing, smaller kitchens with menus that typically have a smaller assortment and as a result, need fewer bodies in the kitchen to execute. That's happening. But unfortunately, a lot of legacy restaurants just aren't structured that way, either in terms of their menu or in terms of their kitchen design.
So you Rebies is really, I mean, you've really flourished since the days of Fireside Pies. I mean, you're all over Houston and Austin and doing developments and in Las Vegas and in Northern Virginia. Are those the hot areas right now?
Yeah, I mean, Texas remains a sort of singular growth market, and that's true of Dallas-Fort Worth, it's true of Austin, it's true of Houston, it's even true of San Antonio. So obviously, as people are moving into Texas from other parts of the country, especially the coast, the need for all forms of new real estate product follows. And so it's a terrific place to be centered as a developer. When we go outside of Texas to places like Nashville or Raleigh-Durham, we're Northern Virginia, we are going to those markets because they have similar growth attributes, not just an expanding population, but an expanding base of productive job growth, the kind of educated professionals whose demand profile we generally service with our developments and the tenants that we curate within them.
Okay, so one last question about, again, back to Henderson East that you're working on. Again, it's one thing that Mark said is you're building it all at once. Not, I mean, it's several buildings, but not one at a time. And the other is this concept of the, he said you came up with this hotelized. Explain that a little bit.
Well, you know, obviously office has been traumatized by the change in work habits following the pandemic, with remote work and hybrid work being pretty firmly established now. And so employers are trying to figure out what sort of office environments do they need to offer their employees to make them want to come back to the office, as opposed to mandating that they do something they don't want to do and potentially losing them to a company that will let them work remote. And so what's happening more specifically is there's this gold rush for amenitization, right? You see it all over the country. Office buildings that are being retooled to you know, engage, you know, a new level of amenities, from tenant lounges to, you know, food and beverage offerings to outdoor spaces to pickleball courts. I mean, the whole thing. And with a much more flexible floor plan that lets people sort of move around in different environments within the buildings to find whatever suits them for the piece of work they're doing at that time. The ultimate level of amenitization, in our view, is sort of hotel amenitization, right? Where if you just think about traditional office buildings as like a hotel with only rooms, and then you think about what hotels have become over time, particularly like food and beverage led boutique hotels, where food and beverage and the energy it brings and the high quality food, obviously, that it brings into the hotel environment becomes the differentiator. That's what we're trying to do with office. So our tenants at Henderson East will have the ability to press a button on a custom web platform and order from the restaurant that we're going to develop, own, and operate underneath, and have that food brought to them anywhere in the building. They'll have the ability to reserve any number of, you know, shared meeting spaces, beautiful shared meeting spaces, set up catering with the press of a button. They can have those meetings serviced, so they're, you know, the whole time they're meeting, there's someone there, you know, changing out the coffee, delivering food, clearing food, bringing people whatever they need. And effectively, it will be an office environment that feels staffed, and with sort of integrated food and beverage and the hospitality that carries, right? Like every high-end office building has a concierge, but if you don't really have that many reasons to interact with the concierge. But if you've got a fantastic hospitality professional with a warm smile bringing you food or coming to take your plates away, that provides a basis for interaction, and it allows you to provide hospitality that makes people working in that office feel like they're being taken care of in a very personal and familiar way. And so you marry that with just great physical amenities, a beautiful lounge, in our case, two beautiful lounges, again, an array of very residential meeting spaces, outdoor patios, and all of a sudden, what you start to feel is an office or working environment that's been conflated with sort of a private club type experience. And we think, you know, that approached office isn't going to work anywhere. It's not cheap. Our office won't be cheap. It has to be the right city, the right submarket, and the right tenancy. But we think Knox Henderson in Dallas, Texas is the perfect place to do it. So we're going to give it a big swing.
Tristan, it's always fun to talk to you. You were a brilliant guy, well thought out. You've come up with great ideas as usual. And it sounds like you're using every bit of that liberal arts degree from Duke University to very good stead. It's good to have you with us.
It's great to be here.
Thanks, Tristan Simons, managing partner for Remies. For more of a conversation, go to krld.com/CEO of David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.